Esme hadn't done EVA since the academy, and that was from a training shuttle hanging just a kilometer from a large station in sight of a habitable planet. Out here, even the local star was far away, hardly a disk at all and giving minimal light. Kosciusko's brilliant lights flooded the near flank of the Wraith, casting sharp black shadows. Esme tried not to think of the nothing around her, and the way her stomach wanted to crawl out her ears, and looked instead at the damaged ship. She hadn't seen the outside of a ship with her own eyes, rather than vidscan, and it was instructive. Like most Familius warships, Wraith had a long, rounded profile that could have been confused with aerodynamic design, but was instead the result of a compromise of engineering constraints. Shield technology dictated the smooth curves. The most efficient hull shape for maximum shield efficiency was spherical. But spherical ships had not proven themselves in battle. It had been impossible to mount drives, either in-system or FTL, to provide the kind of reliable maneuverability needed. The only spherical ships now in service were large commercial freight haulers, where the gain in interior volume and ease of shielding from normal space debris was worth the decreased maneuverability. So a patrol craft like Wraith had a more ovoid shape, giving it a distinct longitudinal axis. Forward, its bow should have been a blunt, rounded end, only slightly pointier than the stern. What Esme saw instead was a crumpled mess, the shiny glint of fused and melted skin where it should have been, as the undamaged hull was, matte black. Aft, the smooth curves of the drive pods appeared to have suffered no damage, though she'd heard that drives and maneuver was worried about the effect of jumping with an unbalanced hull. Esme dared to look over her shoulder, even though that twist made her swivel around the safety line like a child's toy. Kosciusko's vast bulk blocked out the stars well beyond the banks of searchlights that held the patrol craft in their gaze. She wasn't even sure where the working lights on its exterior became stars against the dark. Someone punched her shoulder.
Right. Get on with the job.
Esme pulled herself along, taking no more sightseeing looks. Wraith's damaged hull inched closer. Now she could see the pale tracks of fragments. Of the weapons or the hull itself, she didn't know, against the dark, normal hull coating beyond. The entry gaped, jagged and unwelcoming. Something whispered against her suit helmet, and she jerked to a halt. A firm tap on her shoulder sent her on.
Oh.
Her brain caught up, and she realized it must be minute ejecta from the breached hull, probably ice crystals from the continuing air leak the crew had not been able to seal completely. Esme hit the red section of the line, only 10 meters from the attachment. Ahead of her, someone had already clipped on the first of the branch lines that would frame the working web. But this was Esme's station for now. She locked the slide on her safety line, clipped on the secondary stabilizing line that would confine her rotation to one plane, and waved the others past. With the vidscan recorder aimed at the hole and the work going on, she could avoid thinking about where she was. Major Patak wanted details. Esme hung in her harness and worked the recorder's eye along the edge of the hull breach. She spent a few minutes on those pale tracks, on the way the hull peeled back there to expose a twisted truss, on the odd bulge forward of the breach. By the time she'd filled half a cube from that location, the scaffolding crew had placed the major grid lines that would define the location of specific damage sites. Esme signaled her intention to the chief, received permission, and clipped on to one of the cross lines. Really, she thought, it wasn't that bad out here. Once the stomach adapted to zero gravity, it was kind of fun, scooting along the line with only an occasional tug. A red tie bumped her hand, and she grabbed. Her arm yanked at her shoulder, and she spun dizzily.
Move slow, you idiot!
When she got herself straightened out again, someone's helmet visor was turned her way. She could imagine what they thought.
Another dumbass lieutenant learns about inertia.
Esme would have apologized, except that they weren't supposed to use the suit radios unless it was a real emergency. She was now on the opposite side of the hull breach, nearer the bow. From this angle, she could see into the hole better, or the searchlights had found a better angle. She forced herself to look in, but she didn't see any bodies. The mess inside all looked mechanical, like a child's toy that had been stepped on. Slowly, recording, she made sense of it. The forward bulge came from a separation of the forward framing members. They had sprung like an old-fashioned barrel ring under concussive force, and the shattered truss had gone with them. Patak would want to know how far forward the bulge extended. It could be mapped from Kosciusko if no one was using the near scan, but someone would be. Esme looked at the bulge and wished she could ask the Major. If she could get on the other side of it with the recorder, but there was no scaffolding line there. She had four additional lines slung to her own suit, just as all the scaffolding crew had, so it was only a matter of setting the hooks. She left the big vidscan behind, without admitting to herself the reason. She didn't intend to come loose and drift away. It was just good sense to leave the vidscan where it would be easily found. The one built into her helmet would do well enough for this short excursion. She clipped the end of one of her long lines into the 10-meter safety ring, then edged along the scaffolding line to the hull itself. Her short safety line slid along the scaffolding line on its ring. The scaffolding line was anchored with a double pin and patch. She ran her long line through the ring that attached there, which took longer than simply clipping in, but was more secure. She put a boot on the hull and tested. Nothing. She had halfway hoped that Wraith's internal artificial gravity would give some adhesion, but it might not even be functioning. She could put short stick patches on her boots, or she could just go on. It would be easier to go on, and she could always put the patches on if she couldn't make progress. She fished a stick patch out of her tool band with her right hand, positioned it on the end of her gloved middle finger, and gave the slightest push with her left hand. She slid to the end of her safety line, slowly. Reaching out cautiously, she touched the stick patch to the hull. It adhered just as it was supposed to. Now she could stick a pin to the patch, she hoped. She left her right hand on the stick patch and fumbled for a pin. There it was. When she reached over slowly, her safety line tugged at her waist. She had definitely gone as far as she could go with that on. She got the pin stuck to the stick patch with its own quick-setting backing, then opened a connecting ring, locked her long line into it, and clipped the ring into the pin's opening. The next move had a certain finality. When she unhooked her safety line from the scaffolding cable, she was depending on her own ability to set patches and pins. Caution reminded her that she was not a specialist in EVA work, that she would not have the right reactions if something went wrong. Esme grinned at Caution, alone inside her helmet. She had listened to Caution, and what good had it done her? First, they thought she was dull, and then they thought she was a wild radical. It wasn't that different from climbing the rocks at the head of her valley or the exercise wall in the Koss. Reach, place a stick patch, a pin, clip into the pin, move past that protection to the next. 20 pins along, and she was beyond the bulge of damage. Though the bow shield outlet access points, which should have been smooth, glossy nubs protruding a few centimeters from the hull surface, were instead jagged-edged holes. Esme turned up the light on her helmet vidscan to examine them more closely. Something glinted ahead of her. More debris, and surely Major Patak would want a picture of it. She placed another pin, clipped in carefully, and finger-walked herself nearer. Then tried to push herself back, and made a move violent enough to fling her off the hull, to hit the end of her line. She tried to swim herself into a position where she could see, where she wouldn't be flung back into the hull.
What if there are two? Is that what I think?
Even if it was, it could be the Wraith's own weapons, by chance stuck to its own hull by some reaction Esme couldn't begin to understand.
Mine.
It was a mine, exactly like the ones in the handbooks of enemy weaponry she'd been looking at in the supply ship on the way to Sierra Station. Meanwhile, she reeled herself in, hand over hand, coming in too fast to her last clip. She bumped the hull with bruising force and would have bounced free except that she grabbed the pin and outward line in one hand and the inward line with the other and let her arms take the strain. Now she wished she had stick patches on her boots. It seemed she hung there a very long time, bouncing back and forth. Finally, the oscillations died down. With great care, she reached inward for the next clip, then unclipped from that pin.
22.
27 pins in all, each requiring slow, careful movement to pass. She thought several times of using her suit comm unit. But was that mine an emergency now? If no one else approached it before she warned them, and the scaffolding crew was still setting up their workspaces in the hull breach. When she made it back to the scaffolding cable and clipped on her safety line, she felt it must have taken a half shift at least. But her chronometer didn't agree. Barely an hour had passed. She retrieved the big vid scan and looked around for the scaffolding chief. She couldn't go back to the Kosciusko without warning someone here. She spotted him at last and edged from line to line until she could tap his shoulder, and then the message board he carried. His helmet nodded. Quickly, Esme drew a clumsy sketch of the bow, the bulge, then the location of the mine. "Mine," she printed in careful letters. He shook his head. Esme nodded. He pointed to the big vid scan and drew a question mark. She had to shake her head and point to the scan lens in her helmet. "Follow," he signed, and led her along the scaffolding to a comm nexus. While she was gone, they'd strung a direct line from ship to ship and passed a wire into Wraith so that the ships could talk without unshielded transmission. Esme and the scaffolding chief both hooked their suits to the nexus.
"What do you mean, mine? And what were you doing that far up the bow anyway? Your safety line isn't that long."
"You saw the bulge of the damaged frame. I went to scan it for Major Patak. I put out stick patcher pins and clipped in. And when I got beyond the bulge, I was scanning damaged shield nodes, turned up my suit scan lights, and there it was."
"A mine, you say?"
"It looks like the illustrations in the handbooks. Not one of ours, either. A Smedic Series G is what it looked like to me."
"What kind of fuse? Did you see that?"
"No. I tried to jump back and lost contact with the hull."
"So you don't have full documentation?"
"No."
"Well, hell. You had to report it, and if it is a mine, we'll have to do something."
The chief looked at her. She was an officer. It was her job to make decisions.
"This is what I get for throwing caution to the wind."
Esme tried to think who to report this to aboard Kosciusko. The simple answer was Major Patak, but an enemy mine stuck aboard a ship under repair wasn't simple. Esme finally got Patak on the other end of the connection.
"You think you saw a mine, an enemy mine, and you may or may not have gotten it on the vid?"
"Yes, sir. I pushed off too hard. I was afraid."
"I should hope so. You know, Sweeza, you do have an instinct for drama. An enemy mine. Not everyone would think of that."
"Think?"
"Thinking is good, Sweeza. Now the first thing you do is tell the chief to get his crew the hell away from Wraith. Then you get your butt back out there and get some decent vid scan of this putative mine. I hope you have enough air."
"Yes, sir."
"That's reassuring. Now I'll go tell our captain to tell Wraith's captain that a totally inexperienced junior officer on her first real EVA thinks she saw an enemy mine stuck to his ship. And while she didn't get any good pictures the first time, she's now taking pictures which, if the mine doesn't blow her up, may show us whether she's right and give us a clue how to do something about it."
"Yes, sir."
"That did not require an acknowledgement, Sweeza. Can you think of any mistake you haven't made yet?"
"I didn't set it off."
"All right, Sweeza. Send the crew home and go bring me some decent pictures. I'll see what I can do to scare up a bomb squad."
Esme didn't wait for the crew to leave. She fished out stick patches for her boots, checking twice to be sure she had the kind that would not adhere permanently. Then she used one of her safety lines and extra clips to sling the big vid scan on her back. This time, the trip was easier, with the pins already in place and the grip of her boots on Wraith's hull. She didn't look at anything but the pins, the clips, the line itself, until she was almost at the 20th pin. Then suddenly, light flooded over Esme from behind, washing out the fainter light from her helmet, and she missed the pin. When she turned to look, her helmet visor darkened automatically. She could see that one of Kosciusko's big lights had turned away from the hull breach to search along the bows. Evidently, Major Patak had reached the captain. She reached again for the pin and clipped into it safely. In the brighter light, the edges of the shattered shield nodes cast jagged shadows that striped the hull's dull black. Things looked different now. She couldn't see the mine, but it had to be close. Another pin, and another, and another. Esme jerked to a halt and slammed her feet into the hull. A light flashed red in front of her. Emergency.
Oh.
She leaned her chin on the comm unit switch.
Lieutenant, don't move. Look down. Knee level. 10 o'clock. But don't move.
Esme looked down, half her gaze cut off by the helmet. Something moved. Something small, perhaps the size of her ungloved fist, dark and glossy, rising on a thin wire stalk that gleamed in the searchlight. She wanted to tip her head and see where it was coming from, though she knew without seeing.
Just don't move. With any luck, it will think you're part of the ship.
Esme opened her mouth to ask.
And don't talk. We don't know what its sensor characteristics are.
The little black ovoid on its wire, the programmable sensor pod of a smart mine, rose higher. She could see it clearly now, and presumably it could see her. Sweat sprang out on her whole body at once. It tickled abominably as it rolled down her ribs, down her belly. She wanted to scratch. Not as bad as she wanted to run.
I am part of the ship. I am an automatic repair mechanism. Turned off at the moment. Non-functional.
Esme tried not to breathe as the sensor swayed nearer, sweeping in a conical pattern dictated by the stiffness of its wire stalk and the vibrations induced at its source. She had been a ScanTech. She knew what that deadly little package might contain. It could already have matched her thermal profile to that of human in EVA suit, if that was part of its programming. It could have recorded her skeletal density, her respiratory rate, even her eye color. And if it had done all that, she was already dead. She just hadn't been killed yet. The little pod on its stalk continued to revolve, but it was lower again. She didn't know what that meant.
Would a smart mind bother to retract its sensor array before blowing up?
Esme could barely see it now, above the sight rim of her helmet. Then it was below her vision. She was not tempted to bend over and look more closely.